Welcome to the committee. It is time for us to start, and we will get started with the committee. We do have a couple housekeeping things to do. We have a couple minutes to approve. We have the minutes of, so which should I go first? Let's do the joint committee from April 15th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes from April 15th.
Representative Sanders moves the minutes of April 15th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. And then move on to April 18th, Monday's meeting, which we had our 22 bills heard. Is there a motion to approve that?
Representative Kosnick has a correction.
Representative Kosnick, you have a correction there?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes first for April 18th.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. And Representative Kosnick.
Yes, on House File 3833, the testifier listed, she wasn't able to make it, and the actual testifier that was here was Ryan Peterson. City of Burnsville engineer.
Okay. Any other additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, Representative Sanders renews his motion to approve the minutes as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. Again, members, today is very similar to Monday. We have a lot of bills in front of us, 19, and we are going to maintain a five-minute limit on the bill presentations. And with that, I believe, Representative Lunan, you have your first bill, which is bill number... Bill 3425. Representative Lunan, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, members. This appropriation ask has to do with the Highway 169 corridor on the south side of Shakopee and affects the flow of traffic all the way down to even the Mankato area. And I'm going to go right to the testifier here on some of the particulars of the project and answer any questions that you have about it.
Good morning. My name is Lisa Fries. I'm the Transportation Program Director at Scott County. And this project... hopefully you've all got the brochure that we handed out. If you open up the brochure and look at the layout, it consists of an interchange at two trunk highways, Trunk Highway 41, which is a major river crossing in the Southwest Metro, and then 169. It also goes about another 2 miles down the corridor, and it puts in frontage roads as well as an overpass at another major county road, County Road 14, along this corridor. Today, there are about 40,000 trips a day on Trunk Highway 169 that have to go through a signalized intersection at this location. And then on Trunk Highway 41, there's another 18,000 trips a day that are traversing through the signalized intersection. There's quite a bit of congestion in the area. What is unique about this location is that it's almost 20% heavy freight commercial vehicles. Some of those vehicles are being generated from the gravel pits and the other heavy industrial areas that are located in the general vicinity, but a large portion of those trips are coming from the Mankato area and from the agricultural regions, carrying trips to the ports of Savage and to the freeway system. The county has been working on this project with MnDOT, and right now we have a portion of the 41 and 169 interchange funded using the TED program, but we still need some additional funding to cover some of the local road, which are township roads in this area because it's part of the unincorporated area. So we're asking for $2.5 million to assist with the local roads to support that interchange project. And then for the Trunk Highway 169 County Road 14 project, we're asking for another $7.5 million of local road capital money to help with the overpass and some of the frontage road connections that need to be made in that area. When this is done, there will be pretty much essentially a freeway 3.5 miles further to the south on this corridor through a very important part of the corridor. We are implementing some of the low-cost, high-benefit solutions that MnDOT has been working with us to try to do on this corridor. At one point, after the interregional corridor studies, we were going to convert it all to a freeway. But of course, that's not attainable, so we really have come up with more cost-effective solutions in this project. A quick recap of the total project. It's a $56 million project with the right-of-way. We've secured 10 from MnDOT. We've secured another $7.5 million through the regional solicitation. The county actually has committed another $6.5 million of its federal money from another project to this project, and we're backfilling that project with local dollars. So, and I think the other really unique thing is that the county implemented last year the sales tax to help fund its local share on this project. So recapping again, our ask, it's for $10 million for the local, some of the local township road improvements associated with this project.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Loon, any final comments?
Well, just appreciate support of the project. We've got, with the development in Shakopee, there'll be a lot of jobs there, so there's places to get to, and we want to create easy access for some of the job seekers down the 169 corridor. Appreciate a green vote.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Representative Loon, hold on just 1 minute. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's just a quick question. With that being a freeway, then will the speed limit be able to stay up? Because that's the only stretch from 169 all the way up to the river where it reduces the speed limit. I was just curious if that would be able to keep us up to speed there.
Representative Loon.
Representative, that, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, that's a good question. I've actually gotten a speeding ticket there in my day. And I don't have the answer to that. My wish would be yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Representative Loon. And you also have the next bill, House File 2283.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this ask is for $25 million. And what this has to do with this, through the city of Shakopee, the rail line that passes through, to a collaborative current agreement with the railways in the city is a very low speed limit for the trains to pass through. What we're looking at is upgrading some of the road intersections, and you will, if you don't have right now, you will have shortly a map of where some of those intersections are. It is through many of the older parts of town, and the sight lines are not optimal, especially when there's public crossings that have no gates or stopping at all. And so that's what that appropriation is regarding.
All right. Great. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Representative Erickson, House File 2377 and 2809. Welcome, Representative Erickson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I would hope that first you would consider 2377.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair and Committee, this is the third biennium that I've brought forth this proposal. This is the provision that would allow the City of Isle to connect itself to Malone Island by replacing a wooden bridge that Representative Hausman and her committee did visit in 2013 when they did the tour around the state of Minnesota to look at potential proposals for the bonding bill then. So here I'm back again, and this is a bridge, a wooden bridge that crosses Lake Mille Lacs from the main city of Isle to the island where there are about 40 households, and it is a request for $800,000 to demolish the bridge, to replace the bridge, and to replace the water and sewer lines that are presently attached to this old wooden bridge. And that, Mr. Chair, is 2377.
Thank you. Would the testifier like to comment
on
that?
No, this is my testifier for the next proposal.
Well, fantastic. Let's move on to the next one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 2809 is a proposal for the City of Princeton. I live just east of Princeton and have with me today their Community Development Director. This is a proposal that would appropriate dollars for road and infrastructure improvements for Princeton to get its second roundabout. Our development is occurring on the west side of Princeton. We have a roundabout between where I live on the east of Princeton and the main city, and now we need one near the Walmart, and it's called the 21st Avenue intersection to the Princeton Industrial Park and other parts of the city. So with me, Mr. Chair, is Jolene Foss, cousin to Speaker Doubt, who is here to explain the project.
Welcome to the testimony. We certainly won't hold that against you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please state your name.
My name is Jolene Foss. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Princeton. I'm here today to thank you for allowing me to come in and testify. The City of Princeton has the first shovel-ready certified site of 200 acres in Mille Lacs County. You receive the handout here. We need to extend our water and sewer infrastructure to reach the 200-acre industrial park so that we can continue to grow and develop into the city that we know we can be. The ask today is to help lessen the burden on the tax base in our community due to requirements and modifications that we had to increase our wastewater treatment plant facility. We also have, due to business taxes, our TIF projects we haven't had as much success with our TIF projects as we would like, so our tax base in Princeton is higher than we'd like it to be. We don't want to burden our community additionally, but we really need to continue this project so that we can get this industrial space available for either a large manufacturer, a distributor, or possibly a data center. The City of Mille Lacs will definitely benefit, as will Sherburne County, and the City of Princeton truly needs this boost. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come here, and please support this ask and this request. Do you have any questions?
I'd
be happy to answer.
Representative Erickson, any final comments?
Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for hearing both of these proposals. The 12809 for which Ms. Foss has testified is, of course, a boon to the southern end of Mille Lacs County, where we're having, you know, issues with our northern end, in that we have the fishing closure of last year. And finally, we do have bait allowed, but we will have catch and release on Lake Mille Lacs. So this would help the south end, which is kind of like the entry to the Lake Mille Lacs area. So thank you very much. And then the other, of course, for the bridge, the old wooden bridge that would connect this main city of Isle to Malone Island, where we have about 40 homes and more development can occur. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Representative Schumacher here. Representative Schumacher. Okay. Representative Schumacher, House File 3062.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The bill in front of you helps tar a road on a township road. New Vision Co-op in my district is doing a $9.5 million project expansion, creating 9 new jobs in the area. The expansion takes place and has a 4,130 feet of tar that needs to be put on the current road, and the weight limits will not withstand the new traffic that's on there. With me today, I have Rock County Administrator and Emergency Management Director Kyle Oldry, who can explain more about the issue.
Mr. Oldry.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your time. New Vision Co-op is looking to do a project expansion where they would build a fertilizer plant and additional agricultural storage. What we're looking to do is bring that road up to a 10-ton standard. We explored a number of financing options before we came and asked for this. We started with the Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program through DEED. It looked like it would be a perfect fit for that program right up until we found townships are not eligible, only cities and counties. We then looked at a TIF project for this for financing as well. However, fertilizer plants are not property tax. That's their hazardous material. They're not subject to property tax, so there's no increment or not enough increment. The county looked at acquiring it using the county state aid bank miles that we have, but since the road does not connect to another major highway, we were not eligible by MnDOT's determination to apply the county state aid formula to this road. We then looked at doing it as a county acquisition. However, it's a 66-foot right-of-way, and for the county to take it, we would need to acquire and get to 100-foot of right-of-way, and there's a power line on the southern side of 41st Street that would bring this project cost up to well over $1 million. So the idea is to leave it as a township road. And then we also explored USDA funding for the project, and there isn't any eligible funding as well. So we're requesting $350,000 to bring this to a 10-ton road to service the additional traffic. We're looking at about 21,000 trucks a year for both commodities and for the fertilizer that will come in and out. From an emergency management standpoint, we applauded New Vision for taking this facility and not putting it in. They have property in the City of Hills, but for safety reasons, looking at locating it north of town. bringing it away, we all know what materials like that in the heart of a populated district could be. So we welcome the idea that New Vision had to bring it out of the community and put it out north of town. Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Schumacher, any other comments? All right, thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Just as a reminder to all the bill authors and testifiers today, we will be moving these to the Capital Investment Committee via list of bills, so we'll be doing that all through this committee, but we are laying all of these bills over for that list. So Representative Gruenhagen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for giving us an opportunity to present this bill. This is a Highway 15 improvement. It's a major corridor that works with Highway 212. There's been two phases completed already, and we're into the third phase. And with that, I'd like to have my testifiers make a few comments. The first is City Council Member, Blanco City Council Member Kevin Dietz.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you, members, for your time. My name is Kevin Dietz. I'm with the Glencoe City Council, currently in my fourth year. Before that, I retired from the Glencoe Police Department after almost 27 years. So I have a great vested interest in the area of Glencoe and the surrounding roads. Why this is important, back starting in 2005, there was a need in Glencoe to have a second bridge built. And the second bridge ended up being built, and this allowed the city of Glencoe to have a second water line under Buffalo Creek. And with that, it was a partnership with McLeod County, a 50-50 partnership. And then in 2009, there was another section of this completed. And this is going to be the third and final section that's going to be completed. So what we're asking for is help with half of our project, and then the remaining money, half of that would come from McLeod County, half of that would be coming from the city of Glencoe. Another reason why this is important, this is a regional corridor. It connects up to Highway 212 from the north and the south. This would serve all of McLeod County, Lester Prairie, Winsted, Silver Lake, Hutchinson, and further to the west. Another reason why this is important, and in my duties with the city of Glencoe, I was a presenter for Operation Lifesaver. This would add a new rail crossing, a much safer rail crossing, better sight lines, better grades, and currently in this area, a little bit to the northeast, is a high density of housing, apartments, townhomes, and currently all these folks are coming across crossing the railroad where there is not a safe place to do so.
No.
And in Glencoe, I really worked hard with the Operation Lifesaver, the rail safety, the highway grade crossing safety, and for these people to continually be walking across the area where there is no access for pedestrians is just a very unsafe manner. You do not want to hear of anybody getting hurt, especially in the recent news. Your heart goes out to these people because there are things that happen, and as much as you try to prevent them, they still happen. So this is a very important road for Glencoe. It is also very important for McLeod County and areas to the west. We have many major industries that use this road and that use Highway 212, the Highway 212 access, and this would give good access from the north and the south to 212 to move product to the cities.
Senator Brunegan, do you have other testimonies?
Yeah, just a couple final comments. It's also from a commerce standpoint, we have UBC out there, and it's a major mover of farm commodities, and ADM is building a brand new plant right in that area, and they also need access to 212. So from a commerce standpoint, it affects the whole western side of the state of Minnesota in terms of their access to the metro area. And they've used, again, two phases are done. Kevin, would you just address why the city isn't funding it completely and what's the status?
Yes, as of late, the city's had a number of major projects that they've undertaken. This has been done as some of the city bonds have come off so that the city could afford to do other projects without raising the tax rates on people. Last year they did about 30 blocks of a residential area. This was the oldest section of town, the infrastructure. They've done other state aid roads where the final payments, they have just caught up with the money that they borrowed ahead. And now this year, again, we are working on another project, which is our Armstrong Avenue project, which deals mostly with Seneca Foods, which is a major hauler of finished product, raw product in and out. And they did get a $750,000 grant to offset the cost of this, and we did borrow ahead on the amount available from state aid. So the city really is trying to stay within their means and without raising taxes. And with this project on County Road 15, it would be the third and final phase. Again, it's a joint venture with McLeod County, the City of Glencoe, and hopefully with your help, we can complete this third and final phase.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Miller. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be testifying here alone today. I don't have other testifiers. This is such a good project, it'll sell itself. So, at least one person laughed. So we're getting, until we're getting close to session, people aren't laughing as much now. So this is, if you can bring out the map that was, I kind of did my own hand highlighting on this for the city of Maynard. Maynard is a wonderful, hardworking town, and they, I believe they're a model of how small communities with a little vision can learn new ways to sustain in an era, of course, when small towns are dying throughout the Midwest. They're seeing some small business growth, and in fact, they're seeing some large business growth. However, with this growth comes new challenges and new safety issues arise, and the need to, and so therefore we have a need to reroute some traffic. The road project proposed today is intended to meet one of those challenges. So if you look at that map, the current road right now, the business traffic rolls down that green highlighted line in through town. That's a housing district that you see, and it cuts across over to Highway 23, which is highlighted in yellow. What we're intending to do is to continue Highway 4 from the north coming down south and have it just continue going straight down and carving out the downtown traffic. And the orange highlighted is going to be an improvement of an existing road to a 10-ton road. This affords a couple things. First of all, with safety, if you look on the green highlighted portion, when you get to about three-quarters of the way through it, you see it jogs to the left and then to the right over railroad tracks. What's happening in town in a practical day now is Cargill has a plant where you see CAR, period, that's Cargill. With their plant there, they oftentimes have railroad cars sitting there parked that are not moving, but the gates are down at the railroad crossing flashing, and the reason why they're flashing is because there's a train coming through town. But you find people that get frustrated with the lights and they actually drive around the gates, which is not appropriate, but it has happened where they've driven around the gates and there's a train coming. So we hope to alleviate it with that. It also takes, there's an increased amount because of Cargill and other businesses in agriculture. There is an increased amount of trucks that are coming through there, and so we hope to navigate it straight to the south there. The county is funding 50% of this project. We're asking for the other half. The amount that we're asking for is $850,000. Also understand that Maynard right now, because of this business growth, is also undergoing a water and sewer project that they're funding as well. And so the funds are very tight on this. But they believe this is a need at this time, and we hope that you can support it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Manziel.
Thank you.
need to move them or not move
them? We're not moving them. We're just
thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair.
Representative Van Zels.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I have two bills. What order would you like?
Right now we have House File 2568 up, please.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a bonding request to match federal money for the city of Grand Rapids to finally construct a pedestrian bridge across the Mississippi River at a midpoint between two very, very busy north-south highways that don't have appropriate sidewalks or bike trail capability. The federal government appropriation here comes from the Federal Transportation Enhancement Fund, and I'm told by the city of Grand Rapids that I got to try really, really hard to get this done this time or we'll lose the money. And of course, we never like to lose federal money. So that's the bonding proposal. It's for $750,000 from bond proceeds.
Thank you, Representative Van Zels. And I think the committee would like to hold off on that second bill until later on in the agenda. Does anyone have any questions for Representative Van Zels? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have House File 2555, Metsa. Is he in here?
He had an amendment. I told him to just talk about it, right?
Yep.
For him to just talk about it. Okay. Thank you.
Representative Metsa, we'd like you to talk about your bill, and we aren't taking any amendments today, but I think you'd like to speak to the amendment that's in the packet for members.
So yeah, and if it's prudent, so essentially what we have here in House File 2555, members, is issue we had a previous bonding project that was awarded, which we appreciate, and the state essentially gave the city of Virginia during the Highway 53 relocation $13 million roughly that went into improving and moving some utilities during that construction. And as the project has progressed, the state awarded the project to a company called Kiewit. And in order to keep it on a tight time frame, the city was not allowed to do the work that they anticipated that they would be able to do themselves, which rose the costs quite significantly. After sharpening their pencils, we got them from about $9 million over down to the $3.4 you see here in the bill. And I've got Mayor Larry Cuffey from Virginia here to explain a little about that.
And if you would say your name into the microphone for the record and then
yes.
Your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Lawrence Cuffey. I'm the mayor of the city of Virginia. Just to briefly describe the project itself, $13 million was allocated for the utility relocation as a result of the Highway 53 realignment. We just finished a project which was part of the water interconnect. 2 years ago, we had to completely gut that back out, so now we are moving forward with the utility. Now, we originally bid this out with our local bidders in anticipation of doing the work ourselves in conjunction with the Department of Transportation relocation project. But once Kiewit, the general contractor, was awarded the contract, we were negated from doing so. Therefore, the cost to relocate those utilities went up. We're seeking the $3.4 million in order to bridge the funding gap. And the reason we're looking for that $3.4 million is the problem that we have is we have a MMB deed, and the Department of Transportation have different policies with respect to how this money is allocated. We borrowed $2.4 million to make the first payment to the Department of Transportation for the work that needs to be done. The reason that's happened is because we couldn't get the money that was allocated by the legislature because the DOT requires that the work be done, that we pay up front before the work is completed. Deed will not release the money until the work is completed. Therefore, we have to forward the money forward. Well, we've already borrowed $2.4 million. We have $5.2 million coming due in June. And in order for us to access that money, we have to show MMB that we have that $3.4 million available so that the money can be released, so we can guarantee that we have the money to complete the project. So that's why we're here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Just briefly on the amendment, H2555A2 would be in the city of Mountain Iron. They are being required essentially to redo part of the drives there that you see, Enterprise Drive, which is essentially a little exit into a business development area where they're looking to expand local business. This $500,000 on the amendment would help take care of that project from the city level. There are also federal and state dollars, or federal and local dollars being spent as well. So,
thank you, and we won't be moving that amendment, but perhaps fine. In the future. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had money to move both utilities and trail. Is the trail squared away? There's no issue around that one.
Good question, Madam Chair. The trail is, from my understanding, squared away. They've still got some design work to do and such, but we feel that the dollar balance for that, which Kiewit was bidding themselves and working separately with the Mesaba Trail System, was adequate last time, and we don't foresee a current need for more funding for that.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Representative Metza. Thank you, Mayor, for coming.
Thank you, Committee.
And we did jump over House File 2766. Representative Earhart, are you ready to do that?
I am, Madam Chair. I've been sitting here patiently while you skipped over me.
Well, we don't want to overlook you, Representative Earhart, so if you take your place at the table and share information about Highway 62,
Madam
we'd appreciate
would you
it.
Mind if I had a handout? Is there anybody passing me about it? Oh, there is. Mm-hmm.
There we go. Sure. The handouts are going, so you can start if you'd
Thank
like.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I've been sitting here patiently more than one day today watching this go by, but I thought maybe thinking back over several days, there's been over $2 billion plus in proposals come before this committee for various and sundry good highway and bridge and interchange and everything else that you can think of in the way of highway and transit and whatever else is out there. But I got one too.
We'd love to hear about it.
And this is a long highway, Trunk Highway 62 that runs parallel to 494, but through towns of Bloomington, Eden Prairie, and West, Edina, Richfield, Minneapolis, and East. And it that chart I showed there, you there is the daily count of the vehicles that are running along there. We one in parentheses is the 2040 prediction. I think that's really light, but that's only if we put light rail down Highway 100 and across the crosstown and 35. It might take some cars off, but I think it's really light. But the department tells me they go out that far. The woman from Bloomington testified yesterday that she and other five or six other strong committees were in favor of the project that they had. And I thought, well, it's only fair to ask if you're supporting this and you love it, how are we going to fund it? Would you be willing to vote for increased funding? And there was no answer to that because they never talked about how they were going to pay for it, or who was going to pay for it, except somebody else was. But I got to tell you that it was like kind of like they were the kids at Christmas tree sitting around the Christmas tree and there were little packages under the tree, and they'd say, I want one of those, Mommy, or I want one of those. Can I have one of those? And that's the way that a lot of people have come in here, and I think almost most of them, saying we need some of that, we need some of this, we need more roads here, we need an intersection here. But I would tell you that several years ago when I was chairing a committee of transportation, I would ask the presenters who are the people in that are here presenting from the legislature, are you willing to vote for an increase in transportation? And even though they may have had their mayor sitting next to them, or in the case of Highway 14 one time, three mayors that were pleading for money for Highway 14, the woman said, no, I won't vote for this. Now, I don't know what people are thinking about around here. Why don't you take all of these and go home with them and talk to your representatives there and ask them how they want to pay for it? Now, I will tell you that I will offer to pay for mine by voting for increases in the various devices that we use to pay for the roads and bridges, the gas tax, the tab fees, the excise tax, and if we're going to put some transit in Minneapolis or St. Paul, that we also ought to pay for some general fund money. But I just thought it's only fair, folks, that if you're going to want something, that you ought to be putting up some dough or some votes to pay for it. Thank you very much. I just thought I'd do a little commercial in there.
I noticed that. Thank you, Representative Earhart. Does anyone have any questions for Representative Earhart? Thank you. The next bill up we have is House File 3311, Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move House File 3311. And members, thank you for hearing this bill. What we have before you in my next two presentations are rail grade safety improvements. In 3311, it has to do with rail grade crossings in the city of Wayzata. Coming through my district, there are two major rail lines, both the BN and the CP rail lines. The BN is the southernmost one that travels along the Highway 12 corridor, and the CP along the Highway 55 corridor. And with me today I have the city engineer from Wayzata, Mr. Mike Kelly, will tell you more about the proposal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Read your name into the microphone.
Yes.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Kelly, city engineer for the city of Wayzata. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today, Madam Chair and members. The city of Wayzata has a downtown that is separated from several of its recreational areas by the Burlington Northern Railway. We have approximately 15 or 20 trains that travel through town each day, and the crossing that's referenced in this bill is our major crossing that accesses several businesses, our city beach, a playground, and two transient dock facilities. So we're looking for the opportunity for some additional funding in improving and upgrading not only the vehicular traffic, but the pedestrian traffic that crosses these crossings. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For both of your bills, I don't know if they were part of the MnDOT study on rail safety crossings and where they ranked, if they were part of it. Do you?
I don't believe they've been included.
And I would have the same question for you.
Representative Hausman, yeah.
That's my understanding, they are not.
Okay. Thank you very much. So any other questions or comments?
No, Madam Chair, that's it. And so we're hoping for some assistance in the sum of $500,000 for the city of Wayzata.
And this will go on to capital investment, and they'll discuss that further. And you also have a bill up, Representative Hertas, House File 3312. And I understand that you understand we have limited time.
Yep.
Okay, so let's bring your testifiers down.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 3312 is the more northerly rail grade crossing issues of the CP. The CP line runs right along the city lines and city jurisdictions of the City of Medina, City of Loretto. And there are multiple rail grade crossings that are involved here. And this bill is seeking $3 million of assistance. With me today, I have the mayor of Loretto, our youngest mayor in the district, Mayor Kent Kolk, and also Council Member Cozzano.
Welcome to the committee, and if you'd like to give some testimony, you can state your name first and then proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. Here testifying today, as Representative Hertas mentioned, on House File 3312 pertaining to rail safety for at-grade crossings. This is a high concern in our area due to dense population near the rail line. Four at-grade crossings have been identified as priorities for future safety improvements within the cities of Medina, Loretto, and Independence. So we're jointly working together with all three cities to find solutions here.
And could we, for the record, just make sure that that it's on the record that you're the mayor of the city of Loretto, Kent Kolk. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then, so that with four intersections, we've discussed or outlined in the presentation as well, our County Road 19 in Loretto, Hennepin County Road, Town Line Road, which borders Medina and Independence, and Highway 55 and County Road 116 in Medina, and Highway 55 and Arrowhead Drive in Medina. We currently experience an average of 25 trains a day on our Canadian Pacific Rail line. We have at these intersections, we have anywhere from 2,000 vehicles a day to upwards of 30,000 vehicles a day. And we've seen increased traffic, both rail and vehicle traffic, you know, and trains stretching, you know, almost, you know, mile over miles wide. So, and with that, each intersection has its own kind of unique safety improvements, and the different improvements include medians, traffic channelization devices, updated flashing signals and cross arms, closure of nearby driveways, and additional safety measures for pedestrian and bicycle traffic as well. Appreciate your time hearing this testimony today, and appreciate the support in this effort to increase safety and quality of life in our communities.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Lori Cousineau. I'm a City Council member in Medina.
Welcome.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for considering this. One of the issues that I wanted to raise was that MnDOT has explored quiet rail crossings, you know, in various locations in Minnesota. And one of their recommendations, you know, there are some federal studies, there are some state studies, the rail industry has done some studies, and it, no one is asking for more whistles. So quiet rail crossings are actually one of the safer ways to keep our rail line safe and to keep our community safe in the event of, you know, the increased traffic with the cars with the crude oil in them. And they're requesting the quiet rail zones. Actually, MnDOT has recommended that because of the inherent upgrades or supplemental safety measures that will be included in a quiet rail crossing, which my my friend the mayor has already expressed or explained. So it is just something we're really hoping that you can help partner with us, as you have in other cities like Little Canada and Shoreview. We're just hoping to benefit from what they have done in the past, because we do have, you know, some density along the rail line, and we have, you know, pedestrian crossing, we have snowmobile crossing, bicycle crossing, and of course vehicle crossing. So it is really important that we upgrade our safety crossings, our rail crossings, for the purposes of all of the different types of crossings that we have. So thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And Representative Perlas, do you have anything else to say? And then we can.
No, I just wanted to add that we had the mayor of Independence, Marvin Johnson, and the city administrator, Scott Johnson from Medina, was here to keep a watchful eye on everybody. And they're here if you have any more questions. But thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
And members, do you have any questions for anyone here?
I do have one more. Madam Chair, I do have one more comment just to make on the quiet zone that we talked about. So just to give you, for instance, in Loretto, we have County Road 19 and Town Line Road within a quarter mile of each other. So each time the train comes through, blows the whistle, you know, federally regulated to blow it four times. So an average of 25 trains, we're getting an impact of over 100 whistle blows average per day. So you can see kind of where that becomes to be somewhat of a nuisance, and that's why we're here today to hopefully alleviate some of that. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I will add that one of our anchor businesses right there is called Choo Choo's.
Wonderful. All right, so we're going to skip a couple of the items on the agenda for just a few moments and move to House File 2450. Representative Johnson. So this is House File 2450, and it looks like we have some handouts coming.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead with your testimony, please.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for hearing House File 2450 for the City of Cambridge today. This is a request for $15 million from the trunk highway bonding for Trunk Highway 95. The City of Cambridge is a regional center for manufacturing, education, medical services, retail, and a wide variety of services in East Central Minnesota. In fact, because of the medical facilities, we have businesses that came to Cambridge because of the medical facilities that we have. Although the population of Cambridge is just a little over 8,000, it has a service area population of over 100,000 people that drive to Cambridge for some of the services that they provide. The city has over 200 retail and service establishments with a primary trade area of 1,416 square miles and a secondary service and trade area of just shy of 3,000 square miles. The City of Cambridge is the regional hub in East Central Minnesota. According to the studies done by the University of Minnesota Extension Office, Cambridge has a pull factor of $19,215, much higher than larger cities such as Forest Lake, which only has a pull factor of $13,630. And the pull factor is the ability to bring people into your community from different communities for the purpose of retail shopping. Cambridge has a problem with the congestion on Highway 95. Not just congestion, it's safety, public safety. We have two choke points. We have the Rum River on the west side of Cambridge, and in downtown Cambridge, we have the railroad tracks. The first phase that the City of Cambridge tried to do to alleviate some of the congestion on the west side of Cambridge, the city has spent over $35 million on alternative traffic patterns, making new streets, upgrading streets, and they've done this over the last 15 years, but they can do no more because of those two choke points. They've asked to open up another crossing on the railroad, and the railroad has already said no. In fact, the railroad has actually closed a couple of the crossings in town, so we're just down to three crossings in the entire town, and that makes it even more difficult for the city to do anything. They've done the traffic studies. In phase two of the program that they had, there was a grant that was issued last year for easement acquisition, enhancement, safety improvements, design, engineering, environmental studies, and corridor mapping for the associated improvements. And that grant ensured that if this request goes through, that project will be shovel ready once it's time to start. In fact, the city in the next couple months is going to be actually purchasing a couple vacant properties for right-of-way acquisition for this project. Traffic and pedestrian safety is the utmost importance for the City of Cambridge along Highway 95. Highway 95 on the west side of town is handling approximately 14,000 cars and trucks per day, with 20 or more trains going through town every day. The track has a capacity of 40 trains a day, and they have been in the past at full capacity. And that's a lot of trains going through that little town. And one thing you should know about the BNF's tracks there, that is the northern route going across the entire United States. And on that northern route is where the most hazardous materials are transported. In fact, the nuclear train has gone through Cambridge. Now, with the number of trains that go through, they block the road on average about 6 minutes. 6 minutes doesn't seem like a long time. But when things are jammed up in Minneapolis, in St. Paul with the railroad, we've had our Highway 95 crossing blocked for more than an hour. In fact, earlier this year, Congressman Nolan was in Cambridge to discuss that issue. A month later, they blocked the tracks for an hour and 5 minutes. So that's a major issue, and it's also a major public safety issue. So what they're asking for is for help. There's a huge problem with congestion, also an issue with flooding. The sewer pipes under Highway 95 are not big enough for the water that in the storm sewers. The city has spent millions of dollars upgrading and looping as much as they can, but until the pipes under Highway 95 are increased, there's nothing more the city can do, and we have businesses in downtown getting flooded with a major rain. So this project not only cures the issue with the flooding, the congestion, makes the highway safer. Like I say, we have 14,000 cars and trucks going through the city of Cambridge daily, and some of those trucks, they're now using Highway 95 to bypass the metro because of the congestion down here. So they're taking Highway 95 to 35 and south to bypass the metro going through our town, and it just jams everything up, and the current situation is not safe.
And thank you very much for your testimony. Does anyone have any questions for Representative Johnson? If not, thank you very much, and this will be sent to Capital Investment.
Thank you for hearing this.
Thank you so much. And Representative Howe, are you ready?
Absolutely.
I'm very pleased to see you carrying this legislation. House File 2388 is before the committee. Oh, very happy to hear it.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee, for hearing the bill. House File 2388, the proposal is for the Safe Routes to School program. It basically provides statewide funding for a competitive program that supports proposals brought forward by communities all over the state. You got two handouts coming out. One has a map on the back that shows where the State Routes to School projects have been seeking funding. Some have been funded, some have not. But it shows that it covers the entire state and in everybody's district. Each of you should also be receiving a Safe Routes to School project list for each of your districts. And the list includes all the proposals that have come from your district that have been seeking either state or federal funding. You know, I appreciate the committee looking at this. I am a big supporter of the Safe Routes to Schools program. It's been a bipartisan, received bipartisan support in the past. And so I know we have limited time, so I'd like to introduce my testifier, Jody Girt.
Wonderful. If you could speak your name into the microphone for the record and give your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jody Gerken, and I am the Director of Wellness for CentraCare Health. At CentraCare, we have a vision to lead the Midwest in making healthy choices easier everywhere, every day, by engaging entire communities to make healthy options automatic, affordable, and accessible to everyone. First, I want to thank the Minnesota Legislature for its wisdom and foresight in establishing the most popular and effective program in the state, the Minnesota Safe Routes to School program. I know a number of you in the room played a key role in making that happen a number of years ago, and I want to thank Representative Howe for his leadership on this issue and authorizing this bill. Providing the funding for the Minnesota Safe Routes to School program will increase the safety and health of children throughout the St. Cloud region, as well as the rest of Minnesota. I'm here today wearing two hats, that of CentraCare Health, but also as a member of the Minnesota for Healthy Kids Coalition, a statewide group focused on reducing childhood obesity by supporting policies for healthy eating and physical activity. I want to share a couple of Safe Routes to School success stories from the greater St. Cloud area. After implementing a comprehensive Safe Routes to School plan in the city of Sauk Rapids, which included infrastructure enhancements, we saw a 40% increase in the number of students walking and biking to and from school in just 1 year. Likewise, once they had the safe capacity and environment to do so, 23% more children were walking and biking to and from school in the city of Sartell. After the Minnesota legislature established a Safe Routes to School program, it has grown in popularity by leaps and bounds. And because of the incredible benefits this program can have for children, families, schools, and communities. Studies show that children who walk and bike to school are more physically active, have lower body mass index scores, are more likely to meet physical activity guidelines in schools than students who are either driven to school or take the bus. Equally important, there's strong evidence connecting physical activity to improvements in attendance rates and student academic performance. Unfortunately, however, many communities do not have the infrastructure in place for kids to walk and bike safely to and from school. Crosswalks may not be existent or very dangerous, sidewalks don't exist, and safe bicycle routes are nowhere to be found. The Safe Routes to School program in this bill, House File 2388, can help remedy many of these challenges by providing funding for communities to create their own homegrown school and community-based infrastructure solutions. The need and support for the Minnesota Safe Routes to School program is evident by the fact that year after year, funding requests far exceed the available dollars. The handout we've provided, which Representative Howe mentioned, shows in the blue and yellow bar graph that depicts the Safe Routes to School funding requests compared to available state and funding dollars. In 2015, $13.6 million in requests were out there, but there was only $5 million available to be funded. The $6 million in Representative Howe's bill will go a long way towards meeting the demands for resources. I sincerely hope that you once again support the infrastructure funding in a bonding bill for the Minnesota Safe Routes to School program. It's a critically important investment into our kids' safety, their health, and ability to learn. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee, and I hope you support as this thing moves forward to the bonding bill for the $6 million for the Safe Routes to Schools.
Thank you, Representative Howe, and thank you for your testimony. Representative Norton.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just many of you know there's been a childhood obesity working group that's been going for about 6 years now. It's bipartisan. Representative Detmer and I have co-chaired it for many, many years. And this has been one of our top projects all along. And it does have strong bipartisan support. And again, as was mentioned, the requests far, you know, outreach the amount of money we've been able to give. So while we can't give the full amount, certainly the fact that we continue to fund this on an ongoing basis with some really strong funding helps kids all across the state not only get to their schools safely, but also helps fight and combat the childhood obesity epidemic. So I encourage members, as you see this bill move forward, to keep it active and fund it well. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Bernardi.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
We do have another question here.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment about the importance of this bill. In our state of Minnesota, we put infrastructure in place that really prevents people from being able to actually do a human activity walk. And so I think it's really important that we do all we can to make it safe for school, for students to get to school, and really everyone to move about in our community. But the one thing I wanted to comment are two things. One of the nurses at our school that did receive funding, well, the school received funding, she saw a big difference in, over the years, she has seen a big increase in obesity in students. And when the sidewalk went through, there was a lot more students that were active. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention, in one of the school districts that haven't gotten funding here, and they did get some funding another time, but they have the policy where you can't get bused if you live within 2 miles of the school. So this is not just an extra or a fluff. This is a necessity for people to be able to get safely to school. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Representative Van Zels.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair, and thank you for giving Host File 2838 this hearing. I very much appreciate it, and I very much believe in what this bill is attempting to do. Frankly, I'm carrying this bill because competition is a really, really good thing. And I represent a region which is dependent on commodities and an economy that's basically has three legs to the stool: taconite, timber, and tourism. And of course, timber and iron ore are the commodities that are at issue here. I'm also supporting this bill because a lot of my friends support it, quite frankly. The city of Grand Rapids, ArcelorMittal Iron Ore Mining Company, United States Steel, Boise Paper in the Falls, Minnesota Power, the city of Cohasset, Itasca County, UPM, Blandin, Kimini. The bill would begin what, of course, is likely to be a long process of providing the region with competitive rail rather than the captive rail situation that we're confronted with today, with only one class one carrier in the region. Specifically, the bill directs the commissioner of the Department of Economic Development deed to transfer $3 million from the 21st Century Minerals Fund to the commissioner of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board, one of your more interesting state agencies of late. The commissioner of Iron Range Resources would then design a grant application, and the $3 million would go to the city of Grand Rapids, which in turn would work with Itasca Economic Development Corporation staff, the Itasca County Regional Rail Authority, and others in the design and plan and engineering relating to the outcome here, which would be the construction of a freight rail line which would traverse Itasca County on the west, St. Louis County in the middle, and Lake County on the east. That's the bill, Mr. Chair. I'll try to answer questions.
Okay. Representative Anzels, we did offer for the roads to testify in this one. Mr. Sweeney.
Ah.
He sighs.
As I said, Mr. Chair, competition is a really good thing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Brian Sweeney with BNSF Railway Company in St. Paul. I'm here in opposition to this bill. This year, BNSF is spending $136 million on infrastructure in the state of Minnesota. Last year, we spent $326 million on our infrastructure in Minnesota. This is a bill that would ask you to have taxpayer money go toward constructing a competing line to take traffic away from us and give it to another carrier. It would seem that if anybody is going to pay for this, it should be the companies that believe they're going to profit from the construction of the line, or the railroad that would be receiving the traffic that would be diverted away from BNSF. It would be wrong, I believe, for the taxpayers to be asked to subsidize this this project. If those companies can't afford to come up with the $3 million for the engineering and design and permitting, are they going to be coming back in a couple of years asking the taxpayers to pay the tens of millions of dollars it would cost to ultimately construct the line? I will tell you right now, if somebody constructed our lines for us, maintained them for us, gave them to us at some sort of tax reduction, our rates would be lower than they are. So I ask that you oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Van Zels, earlier in the day we had talked in another committee about the IRRRB. My question regarding the $3 million in granting that you're asking for, given that it's a state agency that we had established earlier in the day, is this going to go to the governor's grant or the executive branch's grant department where they will peel off their 4% for the grant handling?
Representative Manzo.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Nash, with all due respect, I think it's inappropriate to ask a question of me that relates to discourse which was very civil in another committee in another part of this workday. Your question is not relevant to the issue at hand and to this bill, and I will not answer it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash, I guess we would like to have this relevant here.
Yeah, the question was simple, and it didn't really relate to anything other than the fact that the IRRRB is a state agency, given that it's appointed by the governor. The governor has established, and MMB has, a grant agency that takes 4% off of each grant that's issued, and I'm merely asking if that's what this is going to do.
Oops, a minute. Enzels?
Mr. Chairman, once again, I don't think your question is relevant or pertinent to the bill before us, and I'm not going to answer it.
Okay, we will move on. Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative, is the IRRRB prepared to subsidize this competitive line of rail if it's not making money?
Mr. Chair and Representative Runbeck, of course not. That would be preposterous for a state agency to subsidize the day-to-day operations of a rail. Please keep in mind that the fragile economy of northeastern Minnesota is more fragile at this time than it has ever been in my lifetime. Taconite production is down 10 million tons. We have mines that are idled with little signal from companies that they will ever come back other than the mine at North Shore in Silver Bay. Cost competitiveness in commodities, paper and iron ore, is very thin. And in this case, as you know, we aren't competing with Alabama or Mississippi or California or Oregon. We're competing with China, Russia, Australia, Argentina, and Peru. We're competing for a share of the commodities market on a global basis. A competitive rail situation on the Mesabi will enable us to move forest products and iron ore at a more competitive price. That is the goal. And certainly, we should all respect and appreciate competitiveness and competition in our capitalist system. And that's what this will do.
Thank you, Representative Van Zels. Do you have any other final comments?
Thank you for hearing the bill, Mr. Chair, and for being so civil.
Thank you. Representative Atkins.
Got one more chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members.
Welcome. welcome Representative Atkins. You have a series of bills, so we'll start with 2421.
Very good. And I'm joined and appreciate the attendance of Mayor George Tourville from the City of Invergrove Heights and City Administrator Joe Lynch, also from the City of Invergrove Heights. I'm going to let them, in light of the limited time, I think it's 5 minutes per bill, Mr. Chairman, so I'm going to let them do most of the talking. But 2421, the essence of it is that on the one side you have a state college, on the one side of Broderick Boulevard, and on the other side you have Highway 52. Makes it kind of hard to assess. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mayor Tourville and City Administrator Joe Lynch.
You make it sound so simple.
It is. It's just that simple.
Mayor George Tourville, City of Invergrove Heights. Again, on House File 2421, we've got a Broderick Boulevard, which serves as a frontage road along Highway 52. And I'm sure all of you have seen the frontage road. The frontage road, in getting the amount of traffic that it has, again, it has Inverhills Community College on the east. It has got the state of Minnesota on the west. We and the city of Invergrove, under the 429 policy, want to take a look. We use assessment policy. We have no way to pay for the road. And if we take a look at a few of the apartment buildings and a couple of the businesses along the way, the road will not, we won't have any way to pay for it. And the assessment would be so high that we wouldn't be able to show the value and meet 429. We're taking a look at trying to use some other funds also in state aid and some other pieces just to make a project worthwhile. And I'm sure that there are other cities, and I know there are in the state of Minnesota, that have the same. We're bringing it forward to see if there is some help that we can get this year in order to fix the road, which again serves as a frontage road for State College, and again the other piece for the west side is the state of Minnesota. So I don't know if there's anything else to add, Mr. Lynch, in that regard.
It's approximately 2 mile long stretch of road, as the mayor said, fronting on both sides.
Excuse me, if you could state your name for our committee record, please.
Joe Lynch, I'm the city administrator in Invergrove Heights.
Thank you.
See, I told you it was simple.
Thank you for your testimony. Would you like to continue with
any questions?
It appears not.
Okay. Mr. Atkins.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, if you want to move on to House File 2423, I jotted quickly. It's at Highway 55 and 149. Many of you probably traveled through that stretch. It is an angled, at-grade, unsafe, high-traffic intersection with temporary signals that is becoming even busier and more dangerous with every passing year. And that is why we've got this proposal before you. With that, I'll turn it over to Mayor Tourville once again.
Again, committee, thank you. Joe, thank you for starting it. Again, Argenta Trail, taking a look at Highway 55. One of the pieces is that we've been working with the state and the county, and in the process, the MnDOT has said we need to start the planning, but we need the legislature to tell us that we can start the planning. We are also looking at about a 10-year plan that then the county and the state looked at a 5-year plan. Is one of the issues is going to be, and it's a good story. Our neighbors to the west are going to have the Vikings come with a large development and peace, and it's in Eagan. We're sitting at Argenta and Highway 55, and we're taking a look at starting the planning process for that interchange versus tying up the traffic and making it even unsafer than what it is right now. Temporary lights. And what we want to avoid, I don't know if any of you have been around long enough, but we had temporary lights at Highway 494 or 110 in Babcock, temporary lights that lasted for almost 30 years. And we don't want to get into the mode of that the temporary lights become the regular lights. And there needs to be some improvements made to the intersection. We are starting to put in sewer and water into that area. We're willing to pay our share, but again, we need the cooperation. Being a state highway and a county road, we'll pay our share, but we need some help to get the process started. So again, you've all been through. In fact, coming up from Rochester, coming into the area, it's now some of the first stoplights you see coming from the south to the north, and then taking that west 52 going to the north and Highway 55 heading off to the airport. and we're seeing a huge increase in traffic. So we're looking at the start with some planning money to take a look at what needs to be done in the next couple of years. Mr. Lynch, anything to add?
Mr. Mayor, you said you have, or in the bill it says you've got $8.25 million committed to the project from other sources. What are those sources?
Dakota County municipal state aid, city funding. That's the bulk of it.
Okay, thank you.
We're trying to get into queue, I guess is the word to use with MnDOT, which you know the process. So the planning needs to start so that it can be figured out. We also have cooperation letters with the surrounding communities, the major one being the city of Eagan, saying that it also needs to be fixed. And if any of you travel it in the morning or later in the afternoon, you see a lineup of brown trucks. Is that UPS is right there. So they have a line of about 10 or 15 minutes. Thompson Reuters is also too in the area, so it ends up being a very busy intersection at numerous times during the day, and it's not getting any better. So if there aren't any questions, I guess we'll...
I think we've worn everybody out, Mr. Beck. What do you think?
There's advantages of going last, Representative Atkins.
Yes. Okay.
Representative Runbeck.
Just starting to hear this again and again, so money for planning, pre-design, and so on. Are these all outside private sector firms that do that, or... And then the plans are presented to MnDOT?
It's the state of Minnesota. It would be MnDOT that would take a look at leading the process, being a state highway and a county road. So it would be in cooperation, but the lead would be the state of Minnesota, MnDOT.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
And then finally, Mr. Chairman, House File 2349. You've had already today, and I think previously we've had some railroad quiet zone proposals, so I won't go through that in great detail, but it's not just about the quiet as much as it is about traffic and safety issues as well. And with that, I'll turn it over again to Mayor Turville.
Thank you, Representative Atkins.
Mr. Mayor.
This one, with the help of the state of Minnesota and with Metro Council and some other agencies, we're part of the Great River, Mississippi River Trail. We also have got Swing Bridge Park, which we got involved in, so we're... The good news and the bad news is that we've added traffic into the area, which is the good news. The bad news is that we're taking a look at lengths of biking, pedestrians, and also taking a look at car traffic into the area. And we would like to take a look at making a safer, better connection between the railroad and the city and the trail. It is a piece that, and as far as the quiet zones go, you need a tremendous amount of cooperation between MnDOT and the railroad. We're not looking at another spur to add competition. We've already got the spur that's there that, as the economy goes, it gets busier, and we like the economy to improve, right? So it will get more busy, if that's such a term, in the railroad business. In order to take a look, and we would just like to take a look at making it a safe point. There is another point to the north crossing on this railroad, but the train would cover all of the crossings. So we'd like to take a look at a study being done so that we don't end up with some of the issues in a lot of the other parts of the state where we end up with emergency vehicles. And we're not looking at changing and making bridges over, but there is some safety that can be done, but the coordination we need with the state of Minnesota to help us so we don't end up with emergency vehicles on the one side, taking a look at needing to get to an area that is serving the public in recreation and other items and not be able to cross and do the other pieces. So it's the quiet zone safety and the other pieces to coordinate with the state and the railroad. Mr. Lynch, any questions?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the city has certainly appreciated the cooperation, the assistance of the state of Minnesota. There are two streets, 65th Street and 66th Street, which are the two main entrances to Heritage Village Park, and we've enjoyed the benefit of funding in the past. We would like to continue to protect the access to that park both pedestrian and vehicle, though the main access is to the park. This would assist the city in, as the mayor indicated, studying the quiet zone and being able to make improvements so that people could continue to access the park safely.
Any further comments, Representative Atkins?
I think unless there's questions, Mr. Chairman, we appreciate yours and the members' time.
Okay, seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That, Representative Mason. House File 2337.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I really appreciate you hearing House File 2337. It's a bill needed for improvements to the 35W Bridge that spans between Bloomington and Burnsville. And this legislation includes flood mitigation. And I know in our last meeting we were hearing about some of the roads that were addressing that issue. And I believe the flood mitigation needs to be in part of the 35W solution. And this is a major route that crosses the river. Burnsville Councilmember Mary Sherry is here to provide some details.
Thank you, Representative Mason, and thank you for authoring the bill. And thank you, Chair Kelly and the members of the committee. I am Councilmember Mary Sherry from the city of Burnsville, and I'm also the representative on the I-35W Solutions Alliance, which represents the communities that are along I-35W. Moving up this bridge project, which is in the works, would do several things that I think are very, very valuable. The first it would do would be to make the Orange Line BRT, Bus Rapid Transit Project, concurrent with that opening. So, for example, that's supposed to open in 2020. Conceivably, the way things are set up right now, the Orange Line could open on one day, have the ribbon cutting there, and the next day they could start to do the digging for the replacement of the bridge. This would be kind of problematic. It would also really reduce the impact of the effect of the rapid transit, bus rapid transit line. The second thing that I want to point out is that this project would add another northbound lane from Cliff Road to 106th Street in Bloomington. As you may know, if you listen to traffic radio, this is a constant problem. There are always, I see a few nods, there are always accidents there or there are stalled vehicles. And it's if there's that added mile of merging, there would be fewer accidents along that lane. So this would be a huge benefit. And the sooner we could get that done, the better. The third thing this would do is add shoulders to the bridge. Right now, there are no shoulders on the bridge. All the lanes are used to move traffic. This has a couple of problems. First of all, if there's an accident or a stalled vehicle, there's no place to go. The second thing is, and I have a euphemism alert here, and that is what traffic flows better when the driver's comfort level goes up, and comfort level goes up when there is a shoulder. People just don't like to drive right next to the edge of the bridge. The next thing this bridge would do is add a trail crossing over the bridge. Right now, there are two lovely recreational trails on each side of the river, Bloomington side and Burnsville side, and there's no bridge to connect them. So we've had our citizens coming to us saying, please, let's have that added to the bridge, and I know Bloomington has as well, so that those two trails could be connected. And also, it could be used for commuter traffic by bicycle. If this existing bridge, which is near the end of its useful life, this outdated bridge were replaced as soon as possible with a modern bridge, it would take care of all the problems I've just mentioned. The last is something that Representative Mason brought up and I want to emphasize, and that is raising the interstate approach to the bridge on the south, which is the Burnsville side, would bring the road out of the 100-year flood elevation. Right now, it is below that flood elevation. I've lived in Burnsville for 40 years, and I will tell you, many times I've seen sandbags holding that water back. It's happened many times before. It'll happen again. The sooner we can get this fixed, the better. Lastly, I've been talking about how this would affect commuters and locals, but this will benefit outstate Minnesotans as well, who travel into the metro area. Many of them use I-35W. It'll also help tourism and other visitors into the metro area coming from the south. And I believe that there's an economic benefit into this because this area is used, this bridge is used heavily by trucks and by other vehicles that need to move goods and people back and forth into the area. So thank you very much. I hope you will consider moving this up. It's in the pipeline, and the sooner we can get it done, the fewer accidents, the smoother life will be, and we would be forever grateful. Thank you. Any questions?
Seeing none, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Representative Mason, any final comments?
Two things. One is, the other day I was talking to a young man in my district. His major issue is transportation. He wants to know why he goes into Wisconsin, the roads are nice, and why the roads here are so problematic. So again, we need to be doing more than we're doing with transportation. So I'd really encourage your vote and support. And I voted for the comprehensive bill in 2008. I'm ready to vote for it this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mason. Members, we did pass out a list of the projects that we will be moving on to the Capital Investment Committee. And so you have that list in front of you. If there are any questions on that, Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And the obvious question is, we've got a long list of bills that are moving ahead, and Representative Murphy's bill for the Duluth to Minneapolis road is the one that we're not moving forward. I think she deserves an explanation, so I'm asking for that.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. I have talked to Representative Murphy independently on that, so we've already had that conversation. Quite frankly, there was not the appetite to pass that one through to Ways and Means. To capital appreciation, capital investment. I'll get that right.
And if I could follow up, I'd like to, is there a flaw with it? You know, this is a project that's been growing and has some potential, and is there a reason why this project is, I think the public, it stands out, like a sore thumb, and I think if there's logic and reason behind that, I think the Minnesota deserves to know that.
Representative Johnson, I guess what I would say is if we moved on every one of these projects and voted them in a vote here, that particular project would not be voted on. So instead of going through that process, we decided to hear Representative Murphy's bill to give her that opportunity, and this is where it ends. Representative Hausman.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just follow up on that, I guess. I see a little bit of good news in that. I am sorry that we're not moving the Murphy bill, but that suggests that there would be support, majority support, for all of the transit projects on here, the Mall of America stop and the Orange Line and the Rush Line. So that's a good indication that the majority of the committee would happily move them on.
Well, I'll certainly allow you to make that inference, Representative Hausman. Thank you for the comment. With that, members, this is it's possible that this is our last committee meeting. Representative Hausman?
Well, Mr. Chair, maybe to that point then, I'll just ask a question about the first three lines, and I'm still a little confused about what we're going to do with the bills, because you seem to suggest they could appear in either a capital investment bill or an omnibus transportation bill, policy and finance. But in that case, surely this committee would be the one addressing a bill like that? Or
Sure, I'll let our researcher, Mr. Lee, handle that question as to the process of why we're doing this.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, there are a few bills that we heard in testimony that are funded by both the Trunk Highway Fund, either Trunk Highway Bonds or General Obligation Bonds. In general, the capital investment bill can authorize both Trunk Highway cash spending and Trunk Highway Bonds, and that has happened in the past, but the Transportation Committee can also authorize Trunk Highway Bonds or Trunk Highway cash spending. The one distinction, though, is that there's a few bills that require both GO and Trunk Highway spending. Typically, the general obligation bonds are wrapped up into one bill because of the supermajority requirement.
And, Mr. Chair, that I understand, but we're sending on some that presumably would be in a omnibus transportation finance bill, and so, you know, we're sending the whole group.
Well, it is possible that it could be, but as you know, we're not, right, as Mr. Marble pointed out, it says or, but we... not having an omnibus bill, we are moving it in this fashion. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hornstein made a terrible, terrible mistake. As he was leaving to head to Ways and Means, he deputized representatives, myself and Representative Norton, to be like the step-in folks here today. And so we propose cutting all of Minneapolis's projects. Can we just do that by like an oral amendment, Mr. Chairman?
I'm sure if we had the roll call, everybody'd be fine.
So I would like, if you folks would do me a favor and make sure that gets back to Representative Hornstein, that would be outstanding. And then at the risk of sucking up, Mr. Chairman, which I've never been terribly good at, but... I just wanted to say thank you for your service. If this is, in fact, the last time you bang down that gavel in this committee, it's been an honor and a privilege for all of us to serve with you, and I'm guessing I speak for everybody in the room in that respect, so thank you.
Thank you, Representative Atkins. I sincerely appreciate that. And this may be our last committee meeting. There are a couple bills out there that still might require our meeting again, but if that is not the case, I do want to certainly take the time to thank all of you as members, our pages, Sean and Lauren, I believe, today we have. Certainly all of us know who have been here long enough that the people who put this together as our staff, our CLA, Josh Anderson, our research team, Matt Burris and Andrew Lee, are absolutely the best here at the Capitol, we feel. And we appreciate that. My vice chair, Representative Peterberg, thank you for holding down things when I'm out. And certainly the leads, Representative Earhart and Hornstein, appreciate their leadership as well. And I saved the best for last. My committee assistant, Joe Marble, who absolutely has done a fantastic job here, too. I think we have done very good work. I am looking forward to our conference committee, and I'm looking forward to putting together that comprehensive transportation statewide plan that we've talked about, that all of you are passionate about. So thank you for your work and for your time with this. And it has been a sincere honor and privilege to be here. So with that, this meeting is adjourned.